House, please come to order. To order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
26 members present.
So, with 26 members present, we do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, may the general reflect no members are previously excused from the call of the House today.
Leading the invocation today is Mandy Schramm of the Congression Sukkot Shalom. Would members please rise?
Thank you. With deepest respect for the religious beliefs of each person here and throughout our great state, I'm honored to lead us in this prayer. Eternal source of knowledge, you have endowed us with reason and understanding. We pray now for the light of your truth, for insight into your ways, for the strength to banish from our hearts every desire and thought of evil. Forgive our sins, pardon our failings, and help us to remove suffering and sorrow from our midst. May those who have lost their way come again to know your love and turn to you in newness of heart. Let those who love goodness and do justly rejoice in the knowledge of your favor. Please bless our land with plenty and our nation with peace. May righteousness abide with us and virtue bring us happiness. Pour your spirit upon the leaders of our state and our nation. Guide them that they may govern justly. Blessed is the sovereign Lord who loves righteousness and justice. Amen.
Amen. Representative Olson, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous support that we spread that lovely prayer across the journal.
Hearing no objection, the prayer is spread across the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 79th and 80th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal of the previous days be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, the journal stands approved. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction? Representative Faircloth.
Mr. Speaker, I have many individuals here today with Project Citizen from Eagle River, four that I'd like to tell you a little bit about, if I could have permission to briefly read on some of their accomplishments and endeavors. First, they're all seated in the Paratrich Gallery. And if I could have them stand up when I call their name. First is Katrina Newbro. She was born in Oklahoma and has been living in Alaska for 2 years. She's a vegetarian and loves volleyball, music, and writing. She's a huge fan of the poet Robert Frost and wants to own a bakery in Seattle after graduating. And she's here with Project Citizen. Katrina, if you stay standing, and then if you'd be joined by Evan Ridgway. Evan is 13 years old. He has one brother and three sisters. Sometimes those arguments don't go really well. He moved to Alaska at age 3, and his father currently serves honorably in the military. He likes surfing and snowboarding and would like to become a scientist or a professional surfer. Next, Kyle Frost. Kyle, if you could stand. Was born in Arlington, Texas, and comes from a family of four. He's lived in Alaska for about 5 years. He likes baseball, flying, snowboarding, and getting good grades, hoping to one day go to MIT or to the Air Force Academy. One day, he'd like to be an astronaut, engineering, or be a pilot. Last but certainly not least, Wendy Martin, if you'd stand up. Wendy's 13 years old and was born in Alaska and has lived here continually. She likes to hunt, fish, and ski, sledding, skating, snowboarding, and berry picking. She'd also like to join the debate team and maybe join us here one day. She has a goal of attending Louisiana State University, where she'd like to pursue politics or teaching or design a product. Please join me in welcoming their teacher and sponsor, Vicki Otto from Greening Middle School. And with that, welcome you all to Juno, and if you join me.
Any other guests for introduction? Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm pleased to introduce a fellow Fairbanksan here today. We have Brianna Berner, if you wouldn't mind standing up. Brianna is the daughter of Barry and Kitty Berner. She's an eighth grader at Tanana Middle School, this year graduating. She has strong motivation and drive to get things done, and it's really apparent as you see a lot of these students in their presentations here today with Project Citizen and the Center for Civic Education. She has a 4.0 GPA and is a good people person, as I can attest to from this morning. If the body would help me welcome Brianna Berner.
Representative Munoz.
Mr. Speaker, in the interest of time, the representative from District 3 was going to introduce the students from the fifth grade of Gastineau Elementary School. And in the interest of time, because I think they have to get back to class, I'd like to introduce them all at once. And if you can stand up and welcome them, help me welcome them, please.
Any other guests for introduction? Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have three guests with me this morning. Seth Flory, if all three of them would stand. Seth Flory assessed with the Project Citizen group that's down here, and he and his friends came to my office. Seth is from the Tanana Middle School. His parents are David and Christine Flory. He's a 4.0 student, and he's active in the kids voting, and he's a hockey player. So please help me welcome Seth Flory, and if he would hold the applause, and then if the next one, Alex Ramos, if Alex would stand. Alex is also a Tanana Middle School student with Project Citizen. His parents, Suzette Stachow and Ben Ramos, and he's active in drama and also in musical theater. And so he was in my office this morning, and the final one is Michaela Rice, and Tanana Middle School again. Parents Steve and Priscilla Rice, she's active in 4-H, North Star Youth Court, Future Farmers of America, and wants to be an attorney or psychologist, and then she wants my job. So help me welcome them, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Edgman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce an older student who's sitting in the Paratrovich Gallery. He's in his third year in the legislature, working as a staff in my office. Mr. Tim Clark, in the gallery to my right, serves as our my fisheries aide and is a tremendous asset to the office. Is somebody who is a professional writer and careers past, does our newsletter, and if the body would help me welcome him to the gallery today.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a guest in the Taylor Gallery. Her name is Mark Iden. For those who didn't know, our Department of Defense has selected Alaska as their place to launch their test pilot program for alternative fuels. Today, Mark is going to be doing a presentation for us in the House Research or House Resource Committee from 1 to 3. Again, Deputy Director of the Defense Logistics Agency, Mark Iden.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. Standing behind those gentlemen just introduced is one of my constituents, past Chugiak Elementary PTA president. He and I were charter members of the Chugiak Lions Club. He was the first vice president of that club, involved in a lot of activities. I don't know what he does here in the building, but he's back there, Rex Shattuck.
Any other guests for introduction? Seeing none, are there messages from the governor?
A message dated April 9th stating that the governor has read the following resolution, transmitted it to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. House Concurrent Resolution 13, Legislative Resolve Number 6, accept federal economic stimulus payment. I have no further messages from the governor.
Are there any messages from the other body?
A message dated April 8th stating that the Senate has passed in return committee substitute for House Bill 2, HESS, birth certificates for stillbirth. And a message dated April the 9th stating that the Senate has passed House Joint Resolution 9 with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 9 Transportation Centennial of Flight Celebration and its return for consideration. A message dated April 9th stating that the President granted limited powers of free conference to the Senate conferees considering Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 81 Finance Amended Senate and Committee Substitute for House Bill 81 Finance Amended Budget Reserve Fund Supermajority failed the operating budget and Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 83 Finance and Committee Substitute for House Bill 83 Finance Mental Health Budget. Message dated April 8th and 9th stating the Senate has passed the following and transmitted them for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 1 Finance by the Senate Finance Committee entitled an act increasing the minimum hourly wage and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to the Finance Committee.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 148, Judiciary by the Senate Judiciary Committee, entitled an act relating to limitation of state liability on certain federal highway programs and providing for an effective date.
It'll be referred to Transportation and the Judiciary Committee.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 17 by Senators Huggins, Stevens, Wagner, Dyson, Thomas, Terrio, Kukesh, Stedman, McGuire, Meyer, Willikowski, Menard, Ellis, Haspan, Davis, and French, designating 2009 as the year of the Non-Commissioned Officer Corps of the United States Army.
Be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further messages from the other body.
Are there any communications? Briefities. House, please come back to order. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Speaker. Permission to roll up to introduction of guests.
Without objection, under introduction of guests, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you. In the Taylor Gallery, if you would stand, we have Major John Martin. And Major Martin is the commander over the Defense Energy Support Center for Alaska. And what that kind of means is that he's a full-time member of the military, but he also works full-time with Department of Defense. And he is very involved in the project that the representative from the Valley has been working on for a long time as far as bringing fuel and different production into our state so that we will not only be dependent on the other states, but we'll be able to have that helping our economy. So if everyone would please help me welcome him.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Introduction of guests in behind me. I don't believe this individual has been introduced yet, but he's staffed to Senator Huggins. He's also staffed to the Veterans Caucus, of which I'm co-chair. Josh Temple behind me, also a veteran from the recent wars. And with him are two other people here to help. Josh, bring the Territorial Guard to Juneau and recognize them. First, I'll introduce Bob Anderson. Bob is from Juneau, so I'm poaching. He's a Korean vet, a Purple Heart recipient. And he's going to help us try to get some territorial guides in here. The last guy, is James Lindoff. I've known James all my life. And Mr. Speaker, James is a Vietnam veteran in country, infantry, 101st Airborne. And what's interesting, Mr. Speaker, as big as the country of the world is, I was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, walking down the street, and I looked in there. I recognize that guy. Thanks. So I crawled into the window, and he's in there typing. I yelled at him. It was James. So we went to the movie, and how he reciprocated, Mr. Speaker, is he typed my orders for Vietnam. So I really have a lot of appreciation for James. And as he called me, Private Satsax, and my good friend James and Josh and all are going to help us get the Territorial Guard here and recognize him. So welcome them, Juno.
Under under introduction of guests. Any other guests for introduction? Seeing none, we'll roll back down the calendar to communications. Madam Clerk.
Received the annual traffic volume report 2008 from the Alaska Marine Highway System. No further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any reports of special or of standing committees?
The Education Committee reviewed the qualifications of Carol Schaefer and Ashton Compton to the Board of Education and Early Development. The report, it's Bunny Schaefer to the Board of Education and Early Development. And that report was signed by Representatives Keller, Munoz, Wilson, Gardner, Book, and Seaton, and Ashton Compton to the Board of Regents. And that report was signed by Representatives Keller, Munoz, Wilson, Gardner, Book, and Seaton. The Finance Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Ronald Brown to the State Assessment Review Board. The report was signed by Representatives Osterman, Guerra, Crawford, Kelly, Stoltz, Salmon, and co-chairs Hawker and Stoltz. The Resources Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 25 Hydroelectric Power Renewable Energy, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 25 Energy with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Edgman, Olson, Tuck, Johnson, and Newman. No recommendation. Kawasaki, amend Guttenberg. The report was signed by Representative Johnson and Newman, co-chairs. House Joint Resolution 25 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 30, death penalty for Joshua Wade, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Gatto and Ramirez. No recommendation. Gruenberg, Coghill, and Dahlstrom, do not pass. Lynn and Holmes. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, chair. House Joint Resolution 30 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 9, capital punishment, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 9, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches seven fiscal notes and one indeterminate note, recommending do pass Coghill, Gatto, and Ramirez. Do not pass Lynn, Gruenberg, and Holmes. No recommendation, Dahlstrom. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, chair. House Bill 9 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 24, Procurement Preference for Veterans, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 24, MLV, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Johnson, Gatto, Seaton, Peterson, and Lynn. The report was signed by Representative Lynn, chair. House Bill 24 has no further referral. The Education Committee has considered House Bill 59, Pre-Elementary School Programs and Plans, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 59, Education, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Keller, Wilson, Gardner, Edgman, Book, Munoz, and Seaton. The report was signed by Representative Seaton, chair. House Bill 59 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 89, Vocational Rehabilitation Committee, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 89, LNC, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Book, Chenault, and Olson, amend Coghill. The report was signed by Representative Olson, chair. House Bill 89 has a further referral to the Health and Social Services Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 123, Extend Suicide Prevention Council, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 123, Finance, with a new title, attaches two previous fiscal notes, recommending do pass Foster, Crawford, Osterman, Jewell, Salmon, Fairclough, and Stoltz. No recommendation, Guerra and Hawker, amend Thomas. The report was signed by Representatives Hawker and Stoltz, co-chairs. House Bill 123 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 162, Southeast State Forest, recommending Dupass, Olson, Edgman, Tuck, Seaton, Wilson, Johnson, and Newman amend Kawasaki. The report was signed by Representatives Johnson and Newman, co-chairs. House Bill 162 as a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 194, low-speed motor vehicles, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 194, transportation, with the same title, attaches a previous zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Lynn, Ramirez, no recommendation, Gruenberg, Holm, and Gatto. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, Chair. House Bill 194 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 210, Eisenbeck State Game Refuge Land Exchange, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 210, Resources, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Seaton, Wilson, Edgman, Newman, and Johnson, no recommendation, Guttenberg, Tuck, and Kawasaki, also Dupass, Olson. The report was signed by Representatives Newman and Johnson, co-chairs. House Bill 210 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 3, Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission Information Resource, recommending Dupass, Thomas, Guerra, Osterman, Crawford, Kelly, Jewell, and Fairclough. No recommendation, Hocker and Stoltz. Two previous zero fiscal notes were attached. The report was signed by Representatives Hocker and Stoltz, co-chair. Senate Bill 3 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Bill 25, Richard Dewey Duval Ferry Terminal, attaches a previous fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Johansson, Munoz, Dugan, Gruenberg, and Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Johnson, Vice Chair. Senate Bill 25 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 45, Finance, Veterans Cemeteries Fund License Plates, attaches a previous zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Thomas, Guerra, Osterman, Crawford, Kelly, Jewell, Fairclough, Hocker, and Stoltz. Report was signed by Representatives Hocker and Stoltz, co-chairs. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 45, Finance, has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Bill 165, authorizing transfer of railroad land, attaches a previous zero fiscal note, recommending Dupass, Dugan, and Gruenberg, no recommendation, Johansson, Munoz, and Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Johnson, Vice Chair. Senate Bill 165 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any reports of special committees?
The House Special Committee on Fisheries has reviewed the qualifications of Brent G. Johnson to the Board of Fisheries. The report was signed by Representatives Kawasaki, Kelly, Book, and Co-Chair Edgman. The Conference Committee considering committee substitute for House Bill 81, Finance amended, Budget Reserve Fund supermajority failed, and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 81, Finance amended, Senate, and committee substitute for House Bill 83, Finance, and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 83, Finance, respectfully request limited powers of free conference on the appropriations and language that are not identical in the House and Senate version of House Bill 81 and the House and Senate versions of House Bill 83. The report was signed by Representatives Hocker, Stoltz, and Crawford, and Senator Hoffman, Stedman, and Thomas.
In accordance with Rule 42A of the Alaska State Legislature Uniform Rules, I give you limited powers of free conference only on the specific points of your written request.
The House Special Committee on Energy has considered House Bill 163, Alaska Natural Gas Development Authority, attaches two previous zero fiscal notes, recommending, having no recommendation, Dahlstrom, Johansson, and Tuck, do not pass, Ramirez, Peterson, and Edgman. The report was signed by Representative Edgman, co-chair. House Bill 163 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The House Special Committee on Fisheries has considered House Bill 207, maximum benefit for from Fisherman's Fund attaches a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note recommending Dupas, Book, Munoz, and Edgman. No recommendation. Johnson, Kawasaki, and Keller. The report was signed by Representative Edgman, Chair. House Bill 207 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. There are no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there introduction of citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring Tim and Phyllis Merrill, 50th wedding anniversary, by Representative Fairclough and Senator Dyson and Representative Stoltz and Dahlstrom. Honoring Allison Lennon by Representative Herron and Senator Hoffman. Honoring Chad Johnson, CCHA Player of the Year, by Representative Kelly. Honoring Lance Mackey, winner of the Iditarod 37, by Representative Kelly and Senator Thomas. Honoring Dr. Ann McCoy, by Representative Peterson and Senator Willikowski. Honoring the Chugiak Eagle River Statehood Celebration Committee, by Representatives Harris, Stoltz, and Dahlstrom, and Senators Huggins and Dyson. Honoring Two Rivers School 50th Anniversary Celebration by Representative Kelly. Honoring Rural School Workers by Representative Herron and Senator Hoffman. Honoring Alaska Native Medical Center Acknowledged for Excellence, the first and only magnet hospital in the state of Alaska, by Representative Fairclough, Cisna, and Jewell. Honoring Alaska's 50th Anniversary of Statehood by Representative Newman, Senator Wagner, and Representative Guttenberg. Honoring Joe Brock by Senator Olson and Representative Jewell. Honoring the Alaska Railroad train crews at the Milepost 49 avalanche site by Senator Huggins and Representative Hawker. Honoring Alaska Youth Military Academy by Senator Davis and Representative Dahlstrom. Honoring Abbott Loop Elementary School 50th anniversary by Senator Meyer and Representative Millett. In memoriam, Billy Joyce Thurber Moore by Representative Harris, Stoltz, Fairclough, and Dahlstrom, and Senators Bundy, Huggins, and Dyson. In memoriam, Peter G. Alaska Year, Sr., by Representative Herron and Senator Hoffman. In memoriam, Christopher Tooley Phillip, by Representative Herron and Senator Hoffman. In memoriam, Alice Mendola, by Representative Herron and Senator Hoffman. In memoriam, Philip Birch, by Representative Fairclough and Senator Dyson and Representative Stoltz and Dahlstrom. In memoriam, David Woody Woodruff, by Representative Osterman and Senator Stevens. In memoriam, Robert Young, by Senator Dyson and Representative Stoltz. In memoriam, Corporal Zachary Nordmeyer, by Senator Pasquin and Representative Ramirez. In memoriam, Corporal Michael Lee Main, by Senator Pasquin and Representative Ramirez. In memoriam, Corporal Michael Boyd Alleman, by Senator Pasquin and Representative Ramirez. In memoriam, Helen Dietra Mason, by Senator Davis. In memoriam, Ernest Schroeder, by Senator Stevens and Representative Seaton. House Concurrent Resolution 14 by Representative Newman relating to the sovereignty of the state of Alaska and the sovereign right of the state of Alaska to manage the natural resources of Alaska.
Be referred to the Resources Committee.
House Joint Resolution 32 by Representative Stoltz opposing litigation that seeks to eliminate the Kenai, Kasilof, and Chitna sockeye salmon personal use dip net fisheries and requesting the governor to re-examine the disproportional influence of the commercial fisheries industry on fisheries management in the state.
Be referred to the House Special Committee on Fisheries and Resources.
There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Keller.
Up the calendar, introduction of deck, yes.
Without introduction, up the calendar to introduction of guests, Representative Keller.
In the Taylor Gallery, I ask guests, family, not just any family, it's the crew. And my wife, Gail, and we're talking grandkids here now, so if you'd stand up, please. My daughter-in-law, Jane, and one of my granddaughters, Maya Grace, and Avery Jane, and Tove Wesley, Keller's all. I I just wanted to add that they're on their way back to Wasilla. They've been visiting their dad down in Arizona. That's why they're nice and brown. And the dad, husband, son, Zach, is down there doing helicopter upgrade training. And so we get the privilege of having him here for a couple days. So thank you.
Introduction while we're here. Seeing none, we'll roll back down the calendar to introduction of bills. Are there any bills for introduction?
House Bill 224 by Representative Kawasaki, entitled An Act Relating to an Optional Municipal Property Tax Exemption for an Improvement to Real Property that is Eligible for a Federal Tax Credit for Energy Efficiency.
That'll be referred to Community and Regional Affairs and Finance Committee.
House Bill 225 by Representative Fairclough, entitled An Act Relating to the State Procurement Code Relating to the Procurement of Supplies, Services, Professional Services, Construction Services, State Fisheries Products, State Agricultural Products, State Timber, and State Lumber, Relating to Procurement Preferences, Relating to Procurement by the Office of the Ombudsman, the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, the Alaska Energy Authority, and other state agencies and public corporations, and providing for an effective date.
That'll be referred to State Affairs and Finance Committee.
House Bill 226 by Representatives Keller, Newman, and Gatto, entitled An Act Renaming Selden Road and that portion of Bogart Road that extends between Palmer and Meadow Lakes as Veterans Way.
It'll be referred to Transportation and Finance Committee.
House Bill 227 by Representative Heron, entitled An Act Establishing State Fish and Game Reserves, Creating the Helitna River Basin Hunting, Fishing, and Trapping Reserve, and providing for an effective date.
That'll be referred to the House Special Committee on Fisheries and the Resource Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction.
Moves us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 20 by Representatives Edgman and Book, Osterman, Thomas, Wilson, Munoz, and Johansson, entitled An Act Relating to Commercial Fishing Loans for Energy Efficiency Upgrade. The Finance Committee considered, the House Special Committee on Fisheries considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 20 Fisheries with a new title attached to fiscal note, recommending do pass Edgman, Book, Munoz. No recommendation, Johnson, Millett, Keller, amend Kawasaki. The report was signed by Representative Edgman, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, with a new title. Attaches the previous fiscal note, recommending do pass Thomas, Foster, Crawford, Jewell, Guerra, Osterman, Fairclough. No recommendation, Salmon, and Stoltz. The report was signed by Representative Stoltz, Co-Chair. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 20 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 20 Finance be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections. Will the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 20 Finance by the House Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Commercial Fishing Loans for Energy Efficiency Upgrades and Increasing the Maximum Amount for Certain Loans under the Commercial Fishing Loan Act and Providing for an Effective Date.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 20 proposes to broaden the eligibility requirements for the existing Commercial Fishing Loan Act so that more Alaskan fishermen could participate in an era of high fuel costs, that they could participate in an existing commercial fishing loan program and enjoy some of these record low interest rates that that we currently have here today. The bill takes an existing program that's in regulation, the Engine Efficiency Loan Program, and broadens the title to energy efficiency and puts it into statute. And The bill has widespread support from certainly the fishing industry, but we also have enthusiastic support from the Resource Development Council. The fiscal note attached to the bill does indicate that there might be one additional position predicated on the increased demand that we think will be out there once hopefully the bill gets through the process. But, Mr. Speaker, there are no general funds attached to that position. It's all program receipt authority, and it's in large part because of successful and skillful management of the overall loan portfolio, which has done very well over the years. And with that, I would ask the body's support in passing the bill. Thank you.
Representative Millett.
Mr. Speaker, I need to declare a conflict as a commercial fisherman. This might be beneficial to my personal business.
There's an objection. Representative Millett, you will be required to vote. Representative Thomas.
Mr. Speaker, I too have a conflict of interest being a commercial fisherman.
Yeah.
There's an objection. Representative Thomas, you will be required to vote. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a similar conflict.
There's an objection. Representative Seaton, you'll be required to vote. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no conflict because this is all I do is legislate nowadays. I was waiting for that. Mr. Speaker, my name is on this bill as a co-sponsor because of the importance of commercial fishing to my community and the other communities that are in my district. It is part of the fabric of the economy and the culture that southern southeast Alaska was built upon. And I just wanted to get up to make the singular point that when we're talking about commercial fishing loans for energy efficiency upgrades, we're talking about small businesses. Every one of these vessels are basically, for the most part, small businesses, family businesses. Oftentimes, the commercial fishing industry gets painted with this taint of, you think about the processors, the big corporations, and this is for repowering boats, basically, and other upgrades, but this goes right down to families that have boats that commercial fish to make a living, and this gets right down to the bare, right down into the fishing fields, as close to the fishermen as you can get. The small business people that are going to be able to put more money into their homes because they're small businesses. And I'm very excited about this bill, and I thank the, I see there's two co-prime sponsors, my friend from Dillingham, and the other guy, I don't know how many fishing boats they have in Wisconsin or wherever he's from. But I know he cares because he put his name on this. But it's a good bill, and support this, please. Thank you.
Representative Book.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a co-prime and a supporter of this legislation, I do have a small constituency that is in the commercial fishing industry from my district. And if y'all want to have a little bit of experience in this commercial fishing industry, certainly those people from Wisconsin would be delighted to give you some of their long history of experience in that regard. I'm not here to support them. I'm here to support all of Alaskans in this endeavor. I think this is a good economic adventure for those of us in various communities. And that is why I provide my support for this bill and wish you all would, too. Thank you very much.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just feel that the two previous speakers have said everything I could have said, but I do want to stand up and definitely support this bill, which I signed on to.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Going on my 40th year as commercial fishing, I have seen and watched some of the engines that some of the fishermen have used through the years, and I don't think we should use the names that are outdated and belch out a lot of oil. You spend more time in oil absorbent pads getting the oil out of the bilge. So anyway, I support this because I think I can now afford and go out and get a new engine and have less impact on the environment. Sounds like my green side coming out again, but Mr. Speaker, I'm a fisherman and I hate seeing big belches of oil regardless of what vessel it came from, and I think this will help clean up everywhere. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Edgman, and wrap up. Ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 20 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please announce the vote?
40 yeas, 0 nays.
So on a vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Speaker.
Representative Stoltz.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 20. With a contemplative pause, I'd like to ask the indulgence of the body to reconsider this bill on the same day. Something I'm often critical of, but I'd like to step forward and offer my goodwill toward this industry. I'd like to ask for that two-thirds vote or unanimous vote to bring this up on the same legislative day.
Hearing no objections. We have a committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, under reconsideration. Is there any deliberation? You ready to vote? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, under reconsideration, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please announce the vote?
40 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, on a vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, under reconsideration, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 20, Finance, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objections. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 108 by Representatives Ramrath and Gatto, entitled An Act Relating to Real Property Foreclosures, to the Sale of Property on Execution, and to Deeds of Trust. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 108, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attached a zero fiscal note, recommending DuPage, Chenault, no recommendation, Boot, Coghill, Newman, Holmes, and Olson. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 108, Judiciary, with the same title, attached the previous zero fiscal note, recommending DuPage, Coghill, and Ramrath, no recommendation, Lynn, Grunberg, Dahlstrom, and Gatto, amend Holmes. The report was signed by Representative Ramrath, Chair. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 108 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 108 Judiciary be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
There is objection. We'll hear this bill in third reading tomorrow, on tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today?
House Bill 121 by Representatives Coghill, Kawasaki, Guerra, Ramirez, Kelly, Harris, Foster, Thomas, entitled An Act Relating to a Municipal Property Tax Credit for an Improvement that Aids in Improving Air Quality. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, attached a zero fiscal note recommending due pass. Harris, Munoz, Cisna, Keller, and Heron, no recommendation. Millett and Gardner, the report was signed by Representative Heron and Munoz, co-chairs. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 121 Finance, attached the previous zero fiscal note, recommending due pass. Foster, Crawford, Osterman, Kelly, Fairclough, and Hawker, no recommendation. Jewell, amend, Guerra, and a no recommendation for Thomas. The report was signed by Representative Hawker, co-chair. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 121 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objections, are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representatives Guerra and Kawasaki to page one, line five.
Representative Guerra.
I move amendment number one, Mr. Yeah. Speaker.
Okay. There is an objection, Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. See, you are moving for the TV control. It won't work.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one is a local control issue, and it's also an issue that will involve us having the opportunity to make a little bit of a vision statement, Mr. Speaker. Currently, the municipal property tax law that we have on the books here basically says this: municipalities aren't allowed to give tax breaks beyond the ones that we allow them to give. So in the community of Fairbanks, for the underlying bill, the community wanted to allow tax breaks for folks who upgraded their heating systems, wood stoves mostly, and they weren't allowed to do that. State law says municipalities can't give tax breaks unless we say it's okay. I think that's a backwards thing largely, Mr. Speaker. But it occurred to me that if we're going to allow the municipality of Fairbanks to offer tax breaks to their property owners if they upgrade in terms of energy efficiency, we should allow all municipalities to do that. So specifically, what amendment number one does, it says if a municipality's voters want to do it, if a municipality wants to do it, they are allowed to offer their taxpayers property tax relief if they engage in energy efficiency upgrades, Mr. Speaker. And here's why I think it's important. Mr. Speaker, those of us who believe that global warming really is occurring in this world, and I'm one of them, think we have to act not slowly, but quickly. The average temperature in Alaska has been rising roughly twice the pace of the world average temperature. There is evidence, according to a recent publication from National Geographic, that ocean levels could rise somewhere between 7 and 20 inches over the next 100 years, 7 and 20 inches, Mr. Speaker. All amendment number one says is that if a municipality wants to encourage its taxpayers to upgrade energy efficiency in their homes, to produce less greenhouse emissions, to produce less pollution, to save us all in terms of energy consumption, if they want to do that, we should let them, Mr. Speaker. I think it would be a nice vision statement to say that we don't mind it if our communities educate the public this way. We don't mind it if citizens are told they can get a tax break for doing good for the world, Mr. Speaker. So it makes it a local option. It just deletes the provision of this bill that says only municipalities that violate federal air quality standards can do this. And it says all citizens in the state can do this if their locality adopts an ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Representative Hawker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in respectful opposition to this amendment. On the surface, it's talking about empowering municipalities to create additional tax breaks. Gosh, what's not to like about a tax break? That's a good thing, I guess, if you're the guy getting the tax break, but it's not a very good thing if you're the guy that's going to have to pay for that tax break for somebody else. When we create in these municipal systems, which are closed systems, such as the community I represent, every tax break one creates for a privileged class creates another class of unprivileged people who are the payers. We create the class of the privileged and the class of the payers. And I can assure you that we've just been through an election in my community where the single greatest top issue of concern in the community is the community's absolute outrage at the rising level of property taxes in my community. Certainly, as that has come to be, you know, I've got some real problems with you know, just creating special classes of taxpayers in general, but we've attempted to craft a bill without this amendment that limits this concept to a situation where a community requested specifically the ability to do this because they face federal regulations that are forcing them into this situation. I would prefer to leave the bill as a pilot program testing this ability in the community that requested it, and frankly, I'd like to protect the taxpayers in my community from being further classified into the privileged and the payers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had some visions that I would have liked to incorporate in the bill, and that's like banning municipalities from having goofy IM tests, but that was a vision. I chose not to invade upon the Fairbanks North Star Borough's very narrow attempt to craft a solution to a very specific problem to get under the yoke of the federal government and some of the air quality issues. You know, let's take the visions to that entity we created with energy loans and energy policy, and let's take it there. You know, this is a narrow issue that a community asked us to bring forward the Fairbanks North Star Borough because of issues regarding the federal government. We don't always like what's put over us, but I had a lot of temptations to put my vision in here, and I ask others to leave their visions out.
Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My vision is that this just allows a municipality, if they decide for themselves that they'd like to go this direction, that it gives them the power. It doesn't mandate anything. It lets the people decide. It returns local control to the municipality. I just can't think that that's a bad thing to do. I'll be supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when I first headed out, it was try to figure out a way to answer a problem that we had. There's no doubt I'm very sympathetic to what the amendment wants to do. So, but you can see, Mr. Speaker, that it creates some issues in other areas of the state that are troubling. Mr. Speaker, when we had the ramp up in oil prices up in the interior, we didn't have the natural gas capacity that the large central part of the state had. And what happened was people began to clamor for some of the harder ways, I mean, the cheaper ways to heat the house, which became the harder ways for the air quality. And we have a mandate coming down, which is called a PM2.5 issue, and we have people burning coal because they can't afford the fuel oil, and they have people burning wood. And what I would like to see us do is at least give them some reason to reinvest in equipment that would bring us back to a better air quality. So that's the need. The rest of the municipalities, I understand, but I know there's at least two areas in Alaska that are going to really falter under the PM2.5 regulation. And so in interest of trying to get them some help, it's narrowly crafted, there's no doubt about it, but I will speak against the amendment so that we can get there. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Sisna.
Very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would like to associate myself with the comments made by the one of the former speakers from the far eastern Alaskan District 21, and he was talking about the fact that local governments with this legislation are given some freedom to do some things that what I know is extremely vital right now. I took three separate economics courses several years ago, and what the instructors kept on saying was incentives matter, and incentives do matter. This is giving communities, and it's if you live in a community where your power comes from some kind of very clean fuel, then you don't have a problem, and you probably don't understand what's happening to some of the communities that are really facing extraordinary changes this year because of the very high fuel costs in many places in Alaska. There is a very dirty air quality in those communities. And one of the huge impacts of that is health costs. Health costs in those areas really go to actually the social part before they actually hit the health part. But the price eventually gets transferred to everyone in Alaska. We've got to be able to make sure that the air that our Alaskans breathe is safe. And the very kindest thing we can do is to give it up to each local community to make their own choice on that issue. And if you live in a community that really is concerned about taxation issues, that community is going to fight to make sure that legislation doesn't go through, because that local legislation doesn't go through, because it won't apply to that community in a severe way. But right now, more than any other time, we really need to give the freedom to our communities to act in a responsible way.
Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the privilege of the floor. This bill started out as a Fairbanks bill. You can tell by the text and some of the co-sponsors, because Fairbanks has a problem. And the problem in Fairbanks started 100 years ago when they started a coal-burning plant right downtown. It wasn't downtown at the time. It was actually in the outskirts, but the city grew around that. Now, currently, after the fuel costs started to rise over the last year, we saw this proliferation of boilers. They're basically outdoor sheds that can burn just about anything. And folks, in desperation, have burnt just about everything. We have tires. We have people that go down to Healy to pick up coal and burn sulfur coal, the lowest quality that they could find, also the cheapest, Mr. Speaker. This bill may have started out as a Fairbanks bill, but I think the intent is good for the rest of the state. We have a 2.5 PM 2.5 issue that clearly members from the Interior delegation understand. But across the state, we have issues dealing with the air quality. As a member of a city council for 6 years, and I know many members here have served on local communities, you know that the options that are given to local communities are limited. As a member of a city council before I became a member of the state legislature, I always beat up the legislature for not acting in a way that was more permissive to allow local communities the control that they deserve and the freedoms that they deserve to make their own decisions. Fairbanks can make its own decision by passing this bill, but other communities across the state also deserve that ability and freedom. And I urge members to support Amendment Number 1.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I lived in Fairbanks, I'd be, I'm sure, very, very eager to see this bill pass. The member from Chugach described it as a Fairbanks North Star's effort to get out from under the yoke. And I think that there's no reason to not allow that for communities all across the state. The language of the bill, if with passage of the amendment, would still require that it would only deal with giving assistance to homeowners or property owners who take steps that aid in improving air quality. In practical effect, it probably would have the greatest impact on Fairbanks. It may not happen anywhere else, but there's no reason that local communities shouldn't have the same privilege to try to improve air qualities using this incentive. So I ask members to support the amendment.
Representative Ramirez.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to remind the previous speaker from Fairbanks that this problem didn't start 100 years ago. It started when the EPA and the big boot federal government inserted themselves into smaller communities. And that's what my community is reacting to, and that's what's costing us millions of dollars, and that is the reason for this piece of legislation. We all want clean air, and the state and the country are migrating that way, but nobody wants to be forced there by the federal government. And if we want to find a culprit, the EPA and the federal government, and holding my community hostage for highway funds, for military folks, and a number of other things, is the source of our problem.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And clarification from either the maker, the sponsor, or from the proponent of the bill. I just got my energy rating. One of the things they said I could do is replace my furnace. The state's going to pay me to do that, basically. So now I'm going to be able to double dip with my state paying for my furnace and a tax credit from a municipality because it's more efficient. So can someone kind of help me understand where that fits into this tax credit as far as Anchorage is concerned specifically?
Representative Guerra.
I can do that in closing, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. We've got a couple others. Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, usually we talk about making a bad bill better and worry about that and worry about the underlying. This is an effort to make a good bill, something that absolutely needs to pass no matter what happens, I believe, on this particular instance, making it better. You know, for those of us with asthma, we live with a daily reminder about air quality. The percentages of childhood asthma in Alaska are on the rise. I think that for communities that feel that their citizens want to make this effort, it's a good one. It helps protect not just regular air quality, but it does help protect our children, and I would ask you to think about that in this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I fear we're going to love this thing to death is the problem. And so if we do this, as you know, Mr. Speaker, there have been several initiatives or bills to try to give property tax exemptions for seniors to double that or add more to it. And that has been fought by several folks. And I'm afraid that if we open this up, as the representative from District 32 said, we're going to find that same crowd of folks in this room that say, wait a minute, that isn't what that started out to be. It has become a very general property tax exemption bill. And so the former speaker said just a moment ago that we need this is a bill we really need, and I'm afraid we're going to kill it if we adopt this amendment. And so I would ask you to recognize that this has been made to apply to a pretty much of an emergency situation, and it does not attempt to open up the property tax exemption playing field. We've been very careful to craft it narrowly. However, Juneau also flirts with the PM 2.5 problem. This would apply to them. And so it is a broadly based bill. Anybody that gets in the same jackpot as the EPA has put us in Fairbanks will be able to take advantage of it. So I speak against the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to respond to my friend who's the co-chair of the Resources Committee. And that's the limitation of what I'm talking about here. First of all, I think his comment doesn't just go to the amendment. It goes to the entire bill. The amendment just discusses where the bill applies. It doesn't discuss the conditions under which the entire bill applies. Secondly, the purpose of the bill and the amendment are to provide some additional financial relief to people who have to pay additional money because of the high price of fuel and just the general increase in the cost of living. And it's to provide a little additional assistance to Alaskans. Third, the purpose of the amendment, and I'm getting a little bit beyond what the former speaker from West Anchorage said, the purpose of the amendment is to provide some additional relief, not just to the people in Anchorage, but to people in other parts of the state who may incur similar additional costs. It seems to me if the citizens in one area that has a certain level of pollution get an assistance like this, that it's only fair that other municipalities be given the opportunity of providing equal treatment. And conversely, it's a preventative measure, because right now you're not eligible, no municipality is eligible to participate in Section 048 relief unless you have a certain level of pollution. And Mr. Speaker, why should the community have to wait to pollute to that extent before they get this tax break. If we allow this assistance, then people will upgrade their equipment before that, and it will actually keep the air cleaner and prevent them from reaching this pollution level. So what we're doing is a measure of prevention, and actually, I don't know, but it would seem to me that might be a little cheaper. So you don't have to have such heavy equipment that you would if you really had a lot of pollution.
Any further discussion? In wrap-up, Representative Guerra.
Mr. Speaker, does this legislature really want to go on record telling local communities that they can't encourage their citizens to engage in energy conservation? We have a gas shortage in the state, Mr. Speaker. We're using too much natural gas for the amount that we have available. Do we really want to say that it's bad for municipalities to encourage their citizens to use less gas, less natural gas, less oil? Mr. Speaker, I quoted before from a National Geographic article. I would just like to actually go further on the right end of the spectrum and just read a couple sentences from an article from The Economist, Mr. Speaker. The Economist ran an opinion piece in 2008 that said, energy efficiency used to be known as the fifth fuel. It's the best way to get off oil and our dependence on foreign fuel sources. It's more efficient. It's cheaper. And what the article said was, quote, almost all blueprints for tackling global warming assume that energy efficiency will have a huge role to play. It's the cheapest, most efficient way to stop global warming or to reverse the trend towards global warming, Mr. Speaker. So I hope people can support this, A, as a matter of local control. This is a state legislature. 20 minutes ago, we approved an energy efficiency upgrade for those who own commercial fishing boats. And the sponsors of this bill would like an upgrade, like a bill to help them in the community of Fairbanks. For the rest of the state, I think it's appropriate to say local government can encourage fuel conservation, energy efficiency. That's what this bill does. In response to the member to my front right from South Anchorage, he wonders whether or not by giving people this energy property tax credit, will be double counting because they might also get a credit from the state. If you would turn to line 11 on page 1 of the bill, the municipality, in deciding how to give the tax break, can establish the conditions, can establish the eligibility, can establish the other criteria. And one of those criteria could certainly be that if you've already received your AHFC rebate, you don't get this one if you want. But global warming is a problem we all face, and it requires a response from local governments, from state government, from the federal government, and from all of us, Mr. Speaker. So I hope that you will support the amendment. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number 1 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk please tally the board?
14 yeas, 26 nays.
So on a vote of 14 yeas, 26 nays, amendment number 1 has failed to pass the House. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent committee substitute for House Bill 121 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, will the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 121 Finance entitled An Act Relating to and Authorizing Certain Municipalities to Provide a Property Tax Credit for an Improvement that Aids in Improving Air Quality.
Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, you've already heard some of the debate on this. It's an interesting question about local control, and I'll leave that to one side and say that there are some areas in the state that are going to have to deal with some rules that are coming under the PM 2.5, but there's also other rules coming down. So This gives the municipalities the opportunity to make regulation, and the answer to the co-chair of Resources Committee, they get to make the rules on how they do that. If, for example, they do have state money, they might be able to discount that out, but that will be rulemaking at the local level. But I know in our particular area, the wood and the coal burners got a huge investment last year, and a lot of it was people were running for cover because they were either going to have to freeze up or do something different. The fuel price got so high, as there are other places in the state have. But the interesting thing about our particular community is we live in this kind of a bowl where you have mountains on either side, and the wind goes around it. We actually sit there in our own exhaust. And so this is going to help them incentivize people to change some of their behavior, maybe rearrange some of their investments. And I would hope that members support this bill moving forward, knowing full well this is one of those things where we probably would like to get more, but this is an important part of it. So I would hope that members support it.
Is there any Representative Johnson?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And I want to clarify, I support this bill wholeheartedly. What I didn't support was expanding it into other areas. We heard talk about efficiency. We heard talk about burning tires and burning coal. Burning a tire is very efficient. This is not about saving energy. This is about a cleaner way of energy. It's about making the investment to convert. For anyone to misconstrue this as a energy efficiency bill, I believe is a little misguided. Coal is very efficient. Once again, tires are very efficient. Wood's very efficient. This is about the particulate matter that go into the air. So I don't want anyone to misconstrue my comments that I don't support this bill wholeheartedly. I just think it ought to be in those places that are dealing with particulate matters, that under the heavy boot, as my friend from Fairbanks said, of the EPA. And so I don't want it expanded beyond Anchorage, and those were the reasons for my comments. I'm John Fairbanks.
Excuse me, mister.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just wanted to say, if it's okay to give local control to Fairbanks and Juneau, I don't see any reason why we should discriminate against my hometown or others across the state. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 121 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the board? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please tally the board?
40 yeas, 0 nays.
And so on a vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 121 Finance has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 184 by Representatives Kelly and Fairclough, entitled An Act Relating to the Debt Authorization of the University of Alaska. The Education Committee considered the bill attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Wilson, Keller, Edgman, Gardner, and Seaton. No recommendation, Book. The report was signed by Representative Seaton, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill attached to the previous zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Garrett, Crawford, Osterman, Kelly, Fairclough. No recommendation, Thomas, Jewell, Salmon, Hawker, and Stoltz. The report was signed by Representatives Hawker and Stoltz, co-chairs. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 184 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, will the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
House Bill 184, entitled An Act Relating to the Debt Authorization of the University of Alaska.
Representative Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a fairly simple bill. It would raise the bonding debt service limit from $1 million to $2.5 million for the University of Alaska. That amount which they need legislative permission for. The 1 million limit, Mr. Speaker, was set in 1990, coming up on two decades ago. At that time, the 1 million would permit the university to bond about 15 million in construction. And now this the 15 million in construction with inflation would be about 40 million today. So this moves the limit up to correspond with the increased cost of construction inflation. It does not change the fact that for receipt authority for bonding for a project, the university still has to come before the legislature. The university has an excellent bond rating with Moody's, high grade investment quality. It has an excellent record of stewardship regarding to handling bonding. The Regent's limit is about $400 million. At their decision-making level, the university has about half of that outstanding. So there's no, we're not bumping up against the Regent's ceiling, merely the Mother May I ceiling, where we've got to come back just for the bonding. And so this would save administrative time both for the legislature and for the university, and I would ask your support, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any further discussion? You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 184 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please announce the vote?
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so on a vote of 39 yeas, 0 nays, House Bill 184 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 29 by Senators Elton, Ellis, Terrio, Pasquin, Thomas, Willikowski, Representatives Curtula, Munoz, and Coghill, entitled An Act Naming the Capitol Annex, the Thomas B. Stewart Legislative Office Building. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, attached the previous zero fiscal note recommending due pass Cisna Harris, Keller, Heron, and Munoz. The report was signed by Representatives Heron and Munoz, co-chairs. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill, attaches the previous zero fiscal note recommending due pass Seaton, Wilson, Gruenberg, and Lynn. No recommendation, Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Lynn, chair. I have no amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent Senate Bill 29 be considered in gross advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, will the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
Senate Bill 29, entitled An Act Naming the Capitol Annex, the Thomas B. Stewart Legislative Office Building.
Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of the entire community of Juneau, the state, the entire Juneau delegation, it's just a real honor to be able to rise to ask your approval to name our new Capitol Annex, our Scottish Rite building right next door, after the Honorable Thomas B. Stewart. He had an incredible life, a true Alaskan, served his country while he was here in the legislature, was co-sponsor of the act that called for the Constitutional Convention, served as the Constitutional Convention secretary. But, you know, all of his amazing accomplishments in his life really failed to portray the man of great courage, character, and wisdom that he was. He had an unfailing sense of humor, and I just ask for all of your support in honoring this wonderful, wonderful man. There are many others in our community who are so terribly deserving, but for this particular building, I believe that this is the right name and the only name. So thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gardner.
I'd like to just add that Judge Stewart is one of the few people to have served in all three branches of state government. He was a representative in the territorial legislature and also in the first legislature, and he was also Assistant Attorney General and a state judge, so I think it's very appropriate to name this building for him. Thank you.
Representative Munoz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the naming of this facility in honor of Judge Thomas Stewart. Judge Stewart was a fine man, a scholar. He was a great family man, very close to his children, and very committed to his wife, Jane. Also, he was a great outdoorsman and a very close friend of my father-in-law, Juan Munoz Sr. They had many great adventures together, and it's a real honor to be able to recognize him in this way. Thank you.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been a critic of this edifice over there, and I'm one that don't think we should expand our legislative expanse here and have it create a larger legislative expanse of buildings. But I've voted against this, the purchase. Every chance I had, I put a no vote on this issue, sometimes symbolically. This is the redeeming issue here, as we get to name it after a person I met when I was a 20-year-old staffer here, and met him. He was dealing with a fairly mundane issue for a lot of folks, dealing with, I think it was juvenile justice issues. You know, here's a guy with a distinguished record. He was in the trenches on issues. I didn't know him as well as others. I know his son, Caleb, who is incredibly proud of his father, and he and I talked about the sordid history of that building, now associated with a great man, and all the qualities expressed that have been talked about. I would echo those, and probably could even talk about amplifying them and adding some things. That this is the redeeming quality of that legislative expansion over there, and I appreciate the opportunity to honor a great Alaskan.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the reason that we name things for people is in part to honor them. I think in this case, perhaps the honor runs the other way. And it's greatly to be hoped that whatever purpose we put that building to and whoever it is that works there can stop to reflect for a moment on Judge Stewart and all of the great things that he did. And perhaps it will help make all of us a little bit better as we go about our business trying to serve the people of the state of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Coghill.
Mr. Speaker, the member from that way other end of the building kind of stole a little bit of my thunder, so I will drop that part of it. The 22nd Territorial Legislature and the 1st State Legislature is one of the places where he served in this body. And I do well for you all to read this book about who served before you. But the interesting thing is he served with my dad, and that was certainly a good thing with my dad. But what it did do is it gave him the privilege to call me whippersnapper. And so and I remember one time on one of the very contentious issues we had in the early part of my legislative career, he called me to his house for lunch. And I can tell you, he is a formidable lobbyist as well. And, you know, it was one of those things where he's an elder, he is worthy of great respect, and this one area we didn't agree on, but his demeanor is something that was encouraging to me, and his forthrightness was something that was an instruction to me. So the thunder that was stolen, I want to add to with those few comments, and I will support him.
Representative Guerra.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to apologize to everybody. This is going to be a three-for day, so just stay off the remote control. Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't rise other than that Tom Stewart, I think, has had an impact on my life. I spent a lot of time when I was practicing law reading through the Constitutional Convention minutes, and I would encourage anybody who hasn't done that to walk over to the library and do it. They're fascinating. And the person you won't see mentioned all that often is Thomas Stewart. He was probably the additional delegate to the Constitutional Convention, Mr. Speaker, but wasn't actually a delegate. What he did was he was assigned by Bill Egan and others to travel the country and figure out what the best parts were of other states' constitutions. And so he was sent on a mission for a number of months to travel the country to put together the best provisions he could find from the other 47 states at that point, 48 states at that point, that had put constitutions together. And so he found a free speech clause that was stronger than the federal right to free speech. And he found an equal protection clause that was stronger than the federal right to equal protection. And Alaska now has a constitution that's a model across the country that protects rights in a greater way than are protected in most other states, Mr. Speaker, in large part because of the work of Thomas Stewart. He didn't get to vote on the Constitution. He just got to help write it, Mr. Speaker. And I think this building is going to be named, Thomas Stewart is probably, at least from what all the people I can think of right now, probably the quietest person ever to have a building named after him, right? Not somebody who ever sought personal glorification. And I'll just give you one anecdote about that, Mr. Speaker. We all run for re-election because we believe in our causes and we believe that we can do a good job. Tom Stewart was in the state's first legislature, but when it came time for the second legislature, he ran for re-election, but he put all his effort into getting John F. Kennedy elected. And so he lost that re-election campaign because he paid very little attention to it and instead campaigned for somebody else, something else that he believed in. And I think that says a lot about Tom Stewart. It says a lot about him that he never sought glory for what he did, and he probably had at least as much impact on the writing of the state's constitution as anybody, and that has benefited every single one of us, at least to the extent we believe in the right to free speech and the right to equal protection and the right to due process and the rights that he so carefully crafted into our constitution. So, Mr. Speaker, I really would encourage folks to read the minutes one of these days, and you'll see the work that Tom Stewart put forward. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? In wrap-up, Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a real honor to Judge Stewart and to our community to have so many wonderful things said about him. I'm sure that he would be blushing if he had heard it. I just want to end with my favorite personal memory of him, singing the Pirates of Penzance's songs at full blast, having a wonderful time. And so thank you for voting for this wonderful bill that will name the building next to us after Judge Stewart.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 29 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk please announce the vote?
40 yeas, 0 nays.
So on a vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Bill 29 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Briefities. The House will stand in recess till 3 o'clock. So, back at 3. Order. Without objection, we will move back up the calendar to messages from the other body. Madam Clerk.
A message dated April 10th stating that the Senate has passed and returned House Bill 139, allows screen devices and utility vehicles. And a message dated April 10th stating the Senate has passed and transmitted for consideration committee substitute for Senate Bill 96, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Nonpayment of Child Support to the Definition of the Term State for the Purposes of the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act to Certain Judicial and Administrative Orders for Medical Support of a Child to Periodic Review and Adjustment of Child Support Orders to Relief from Administrative Child Support Orders to Child Support Arrearages and to Medical Support of a Child and the Alaska Native Family Assistance Program, amending Rule 90.3, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, and providing for an effective date.
That'll be referred to Health and Social Services, Judiciary, and the Finance Committee. Briefities.
pass.
SB 6 or 96 will be sent to Judiciary and Finance.
I have no further messages from the other body.
Are there any reports of standing committees?